And as they are heading out, could you please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude? The book of Jude at the end of the New Testament, second last book, just before Revelation. We're going to be looking at Jude, reading verses 3 to 4, and then verses 11 to 16. 11 to 16. Let us hear the word of the Lord. You may follow along in the Bibles, the pew Bibles, your Bible, or the screen behind me. Verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and denied Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Down to verse 8 or 11. Thank you. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, and they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm, shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind, autumn trees without fruit, and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I wanted to start this morning with a word for you to think about. And the word is altered. Altered. And defined, the word altered means to change something or to cause the characteristics of something to change. So you got the word in your mind, you're thinking about it, altered. There's a few examples I wanted to give you. It's incredible in this day and age with cameras how you can Photoshop any picture you want, right? You can take its original look and change it. Like this example behind me. Of course, this is not the original picture. Maybe it was, and the people weren't happy about it, and they wanted to just put dog faces in there instead. But that's Photoshopped. And I'm sure I'm not the only one guilty of Photoshopping pictures and having fun with that. But pictures can be altered. Another example could be blueprints. A design can be altered. And when blueprints have been altered, it can have serious consequences to the structure of a building in its integrity, especially if it's been altered by people who would have no idea what they're doing and know nothing about building. And then the last example is, if our bridge was closed for whatever reason today, I'm sure many of you would have to alter your route, right? You'd have to find another way to get home. And so the word altered means to change something, or to cause the characteristics of something to change. You know, we're going through this book of Jude together. And in this book, in the last time that we were in it together, we learned that Jude is warning the church against false teaching. There are people, false believers, false teachers in the church that are altering the Word of God, changing it to suit their own needs and to support their own way of living that wasn't of God. These false teachers were within the church, and the judgment Christ had promised for them was coming. What had they done? Well, just to recap, they had crept into the church unnoticed, sharing their ungodly teaching and living out their ungodly behavior. You probably would have noticed that the word ungodly came up at least 4 or 5 times in our passage today for a reason. We'll get to that later. But these false believers were twisting, altering the word of God and the gospel message. So how did they alter the gospel message? Well, Jude says they have turned the grace of our God into immoral living, sinful living, wicked living, unrighteous living. In other words, they view the grace of God as a license to live their life in the way that they want to live, not in a way that's pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. So they saw God's grace as a license to sin. And listen, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ here this morning, and if you're born again and have met Jesus and he's changed your life, you know that you just have this passion and this desire in your life to live for God. And when you sin now, and this is the difference, when you meet Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in you in his fullness, when you sin, guess what? You're miserable, aren't you? Your sin makes you want to vomit. You're disgusted because you know that you are now living outside of the will of God, outside of his desire and how he wants you to live for him. And if you know that you're struggling in sin and you've sinned, the Holy Spirit convicts you, there's this guilt, and you know that it's now God's will for you to repent of your sin and to seek his forgiveness. And that's what it means to follow the Lord in the truth of his word, not your feelings and not what the word of the world says, because the word of the world will just say, who cares? You're fine. God will forgive you. In fact, your sin will make his grace appear even bigger and better. But that's not the way of the Lord. God does not want you to use his grace as a license to sin. And that was part of their false teaching in the church. These false believers were trying to lead the church away from the truth. That's why it's important that you know what the truth is, what God's word says. Throughout Jude's letter, he speaks of the judgment that they will receive if these false believers, if these false teachers do not repent of their wayward teachings and sinful behaviors. Jude describes these people. He says that, again, they are ungodly more than once. And ungodly simply means they do not act, they do not seek to imitate God. Okay? It is not in their desire. They don't have any passion or longing to follow in the ways of the Lord and to pursue righteousness. So one theme in this book, and especially in our text today, is that God is holy and God is just. I think we could all agree that God is loving and compassionate and caring. We have many blessings that we can sing about together about how God is like that. But God is also holy and just. And since justice and righteousness are God's characteristics, he, in his character, he has to fairly and rightly deal with all disobedience. If he did not, he wouldn't be just or righteous. Remember, God rewards righteousness because he is just. However, also because he is just, he will punish unrighteousness, which is sin. And so Jude is warning believers then, as he is warning us now, of a threat of false teaching. People who call themselves believers, but they are not, and they are trying to, you know, attract believers away from the truth of the gospel and God's word. And so Jude is spending this letter addressing this concern, and the purpose of the book is to appeal to believers. Earnestly, he says, contend for the faith, defend it, protect it, guard it against being altered, corrupted. So I want to be clear, Jude is not writing to these certain people. He is writing to the church. He's writing to believers who were being led astray by these false teachers. So he is clearly concerned about the church and false believers who had intentionally snuck in seeking to destroy it. And their mission was very clear. Destroy our pursuit of holiness. Get us off track. Join them, if anything, in their sinful behavior. Now this morning I wanted to start by saying that there are probably 4 groups of people in this room today. First, there are true believers. who are faithfully following Christ, seeking to be holy. And if you're in this group, you need to be reminded of false believers, wolves in sheep's clothing, who may be among us. And in this group, this faithful group of people who follow Christ with all their heart, they need to be encouraged to contend for the faith, remembering that the gospel changes lives, and so we seek to be holy. And that's how we contend for the faith, that faith saves us and makes us holy positionally before God, and that we pursue it practically in our lives. Pursue holiness each and every day with your thoughts, with your acts, with your attitude and the way you live. So that's the first group. The second group are true believers who are struggling to follow Jesus. Struggling to follow Jesus. Who may be or are adversely affected by the false teaching that surrounds us. Okay, and in this group, what do we do when the culture around us gives into and approves every kind of sinful lifestyle and sinful practices? What do we do when we are challenged and we are tempted to follow suit? And further, when this false ideology says sin doesn't matter, just look the other way. God doesn't care. He'll forgive you. In fact, some of what we have called sin is not sin. This is how the world speaks. And in this group, these are believers struggling not to follow that. Their desire is set on the Lord, but they're struggling with this false teaching. And Jude reminds us to be holy here. And perhaps you have been persuaded by these unbiblical arguments. And so the word of the Lord today to you is, stand your ground, be holy, as the Lord has called you to be holy in your life. The third group is this. There may be unbelievers among us today who are exploring the claims of Christ. I pray that. I pray that every week we have people in this place that are wanting to know, who is Jesus? Is there more to life in this? All the questions that I have in my life, will they be answered in this place, in the Bible, in Christ? And I hope there are some of you here today, that's who you are. You're in group three. Maybe you found you don't have the power to fight sin and evil, to say no to sin. And perhaps you're tired of the mess you've made of your life and you're interested to see if Jesus has the answers. And guess what? The answer is what? Yes, it is. There are people around you nodding their heads. Yes, there are answers in Jesus. He does. God can forgive your sins. God can save you, and He can send His Holy Spirit to live within you so that you can pursue righteousness. All you have to do is repent of your sins. Turn to Jesus and know that, what do I have to do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Are you tired of trying? Are you tired of failing? Well, Jesus has done something for all of us to forgive and conquer your sin. And as we gather as a church, this is why we do this. A family of believers who seek to know God more and to grow in Christ's likeness together, because what we have in common is that we know that there is only one person that can save us from our sins, and He is Jesus. And then the last group, and this is the group really, really about which Jude is writing about and warning against. There may be false believers in this place today. There may be false teachers among us who have infiltrated the Church of Christ, just as they have been doing for hundreds and thousands of years since the day of Jude. They did in Jude's days, and they have to the present day. And these are not just your run-of-the-mill unbelievers who are outside of the church living lives of sin without any care to change, nor even inside the church looking for answers in Jesus. That's not why they're here. No, these are those that actively engage in sin, teaching lies about sin, seeking to draw you into their sinful lifestyles. But if you're wondering, why would they do that? Well, there's lots of reasons. First of all, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They're not born again, which means that they are still dead in their sins and dead spiritually without any hope. They are controlled by the dark prince of this world. They are held captive to him to do his work. They are demonically influenced to destroy the church of Jesus Christ and those that follow after Jesus Christ. So this is group four. And so this book, this letter that Jude writes, do not miss it, is written about group four, those who are seeking to destroy the church from within. So what group do you belong to? In our passage today, Jude goes on to pronounce a woe against those in group four. That was a woe. Using three Old Testament examples. Look with me to verse 11. Please join me as we look at verse 11. I want us to hone in on this small three-letter word. It is a word Jude uses at the start of verse 11. It is, woe to them, exclamation mark. And then when I was going over this passage, I kept going back to those three words, woe to them, woe to them. It's not a word we use too often. When was the last time you used the word woe? Woe is a term of admonishment. Okay, it's a word that means against a particular action or saying. It's a warning, woe. So, for instance, woe, slow down, or else we will slip on this ice and hit a tree. Woe to you for not doing the dishes. Maybe you used that this week. Woe to you for getting our anniversary day, for getting a Valentine's Day card on Wednesday. Anybody get the woe? Woe to you for, well, not listening to God and obeying his word. And you try to get away, but then he sends a storm, and then he sends a fish, and you're swallowed, and then you're in the middle of a fish for 3 days. Woe to you. I guess this is a bit of a side. So one of my highlights this week was youth group. And we had a number of kids here for the first time. First time having a Bible in their hands. It was really cool. So this one kid, Jax, we're going through the book of Jonah, right? And so we're talking about what happened to Jonah. And I had three questions on the board. You know, what happened in this story? What's the meaning and what can I take away from it? Well, this kid who's never been to church before, when we got to the question of what do you take away from this story about Jonah, I've never seen eyes so bright and wide, like the deer in the headlight eyes. And he's like, if I don't listen and obey God, he's going to send a big fish to swallow me. Now, the way he said it, I thought he was just joking around, being a typical little youth, just trying to get everybody laughing. But no, he was dead serious. So then I had to try not to laugh and not make comments like, you know, make sure then you're never walking by Trent River. Stay away from the bridge. But it was like all of a sudden the fear of the Lord came upon him, right? And so we want to bless that. We want to pray for this little kid named Jax because he was very serious and he took it very seriously how important it is to listen and obey God or else. Now, of course, you know, we were like, well, he could. God doesn't change. He can send a fish or could something else to swallow him up. And so we had a good discussion after that about the consequences, really, of sin, right? And what God could do, may do to us when we aren't following in his will. So I guess that's where I went. Woe to, them. Look out. Don't be like a Jonah. So as we carry on here, Jude is using this word, okay? And the word is used here in verse 11, not just as a warning, but also to pronounce judgment. And Jude starts by saying, woe to them. And he's referring, of course, to these false believers. And he's using this word to warn the church about their wicked influence and that God will deal with them because of their sinfulness. Okay, again, so much of the theme of this letter is God is holy and God is just. And if there's anything that you take away from this sermon this morning, if you're new here and you're searching, is that there are a lot of things we learn in the Bible about the character of God. But perhaps that's the one thing you need to remember today. Jude says, woe to them, for they are like three men in the Old Testament who also departed from God and were judged. So I wanted us to look at these three men. Because perhaps you might be warned from their example, challenge to change the way you're living based on these three men. Let's look at Cain. All right, Cain if you remember anything about Cain, or if you've never heard about Cain, he's found in the in the Old Testament in Genesis 4. And in the book of Genesis, we learn that Cain was the son of Adam and Eve and the brother of Abel. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a keeper of the flocks. And when it came time to make a sacrifice to worship God, Cain brought an offering from his labors and Abel brought from his flocks. God looked, as the story goes, with favor on Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. In fact, we read that God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice of blood, but rejected Cain's offering. And as a result, out of anger, what does Cain do? He kills his brother Abel. And when the Lord says, "Where's your brother?" he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And so he had chosen the way of wickedness. He had not chosen the way of righteousness. And Canaan is an example of those who reject God's way and go their own way, thinking that their own way is better. He is further the example of those who reject God's way of salvation and invent their own, and you can't do that. Rather, people should be amazed that God provided any way at all for us to be saved from our sin. Isn't that so true? You can't dismiss or change God's word, and to do so is to invite certain judgment. So these false believers and others like them who think they can live however they want, devoid of God's righteous way, is to go the way of Cain. That's what that means, to go the way of Cain. But he doesn't stop there. The second man that Jude mentions is, he goes on to say, for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam. Okay? In verse 11, they have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. What does that mean? And why is Jude warning us about them, because they are acting like Balaam? Well, Balaam's story is found in Numbers 22 to 24. Balaam was a wicked prophet in the Bible. Did you know this? Balaam did hear from God, and God did give him some true prophecies to speak. However, Balaam's heart was not right with God, and eventually he showed his true colors by betraying Israel and leading them astray. For instance, in Numbers 25, we find that the men of Israel began to indulge in sexual immorality, okay? Outside of the boundaries of God's design for sexuality, they decide to just go and do whatever they want with the Moabite women. And these Moabite women, in turn, invited the Israelite men to bow down and sacrifice to their gods, and they went along with it. They turned away from God to idolatry through sexual morality. That's what they were guilty of. And it was Balaam's idea to lead the men of Israel into idolatry and sexual morality. He knew the only way to defeat Israel was by their God, to incite God's anger against them for their disobedience. And for this, it is said, Balaam was indeed paid handsomely. What a corrupt guy. It was Balaam's idea. Balaam then is an example of selling out God's people for money, of exploiting the people of God to enrich yourself. And so the error of Balaam was encouraging sinful living for pay. From this, we understand that these false believers, yes, they were not only immoral, they were also greedy. They were in it for the money. And the third Old Testament person here after Balaam is Korah. Okay, at the end of verse 11, they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. And Korah's story is found in Numbers 16. Korah was of the Kohites of the tribe of Levi, the same tribe and clan as Aaron and Moses, but he was not of the line of Aaron, so he was not a priest. And what he's guilty of is he led a rebellion of about 250 men against Moses and Aaron, complaining against their leadership. And so what their disobedience was and their rebellion was going against God's chosen leadership, God's chosen spiritual leadership of Israel. They rebelled against it. They were trying to lead the people away from following Moses and Aaron that God had put in place to be the leaders of the Israelites. So they stood against God's appointed leadership. They wanted the priesthood for themselves to lead the people spiritually, but it is of serious consequence to stand against God's appointed godly leadership. And so at God's instruction, the people of Israel separated from Korah and the 250 men. And as they're standing at the tent of meeting with their families, if you read through Numbers Verses 16, the earth split and swallowed up the families and all the Kohites and Korah's followers, who were all complicit in this rebellion. Fire came down from the tabernacle and consumed the 250 men. So yes, God is holy. God is just. Jude is saying what these men were doing, these false teachers and false believers that Jude is writing about, are like them. They are usurping biblical authority of church leadership. They're wanting to lead the people astray into error. Now notice that Jude also says of these false believers, they have perished in the rebellion of Korah. So certain was the destruction to come on these men, it's written in the past tense that they will perish as in the rebellion of Korah. And so in verse 11, Jude has used not one, not two, but three men to warn the church, to remind us of the rebellion and certain destruction. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. God's dealing with sin because he is holy and he is just. Again, just to remind you, Cain represents those who think they can come to God their own way, apart from the way God prescribed for us for salvation and how we worship him. They can choose wickedness over holiness. Balaam represents those who think they can engage in sex immorality and idolatry, and it doesn't matter. Again, it does matter, and I think that's a theme through Jude. God hates sin. Sin is very serious. Do not live in it. Repent of it. And here with Balaam, it's important to be aware of those that seek to make money and to prosper by turning people away from God to promote themselves or to promote their own false teaching. And then lastly, Korah represents those who think they can stand against God's godly leadership, who stand on the word of God. And their destruction is sure. And really, back to my four groups, that's group four. That's group four. So yes, you know, God and his word, God has given us his word to inspire us and to encourage us and to point us in the right direction. So that, and then to help us also not go in other directions. It's a narrow road, yes, that leads to righteousness. Jude says, woe to these false teachers for their ungodly teaching and their ungodly behavior. And the scripture is very clear in what it calls good and what it calls evil. It says, woe to those who call evil good. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Essentially, anyone who goes against the good word of God, woe to him. Woe to her. For those guilty of this, there is only one thing you can do. Repent. Turn away from your sin and seek God's forgiveness so that your sins may be wiped out. Because as much as we know that God is holy and just, he is gracious, and he is inviting each one of us to be right with him in our lives as we seek him, as we come and seek his forgiveness and follow after him. God has called you, and he's called me, to follow after his way, not to reject it and do our own thing. That's the way of the world. Many think that it will not matter to God, that he will overlook their ways, their sinful ways, but God makes it clear what he desires of his people. So you can choose to follow the Lord in the truth of his word and gain his blessings. That's my prayer for you. Or we can choose to go our own way and bring upon us his judgment. If you belong to God, study his word, memorize it. You've been challenged already this morning to memorize the word of God and show thyselves approved. Or else, woe to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your great and wonderful mercies, which are new every morning. You are great and worthy to be praised. You are good and your word is good. And we thank you that your grace and mercy endureth forever. And Lord, we are also so grateful that you are patient with us, abounding in love, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone in this room, everyone in this community, everyone in this land to come unto repentance. So Lord, be with us on this day. Continue to grant us the wisdom and strength to make choices that will be pleasing to you. Grant us the ability to deny the flesh daily and pick up our cross and follow you in your word. And thank you, Lord, for giving us Jesus, the example that we always need to look to in all areas of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen.